Recently, I've been telling you about Chuck Norris and how he's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's his secret? Well, it's called Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. What does it taste like? Well, unlike other green drinks that taste about as delicious as freshly mowed grass clippings, this one actually tastes pretty good. Heck, if I can get it down, you can get it down. Just like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe today. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Well, that sounds great. And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football. Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
My name is Lena. What's your name?
Probably shouldn't say.
Mr. X, then.
Mr. X, can you play chess?
No.
I can. My daddy taught me.
He told me not to get in the game. Why'd you let me do it?
Well, I knew you had this business here, Davey. It's my nature. Frog and the scorpion, you know? Now, besides, if you would have won, I'd be the one crying the blues. Right?
What's the end?
The end? It's planned bankruptcy. Hey, you're not the first guy to get busted out. This is how a guy like me makes a living. This is my bread and butter. When this is over, you're free to go. You can go anywhere you want. Oh, for Christ's sake.
There are breakings. Nobody misses the extra points. It's only had to do one little kick, and now I'm ruined.
No bitch to me. Bet with your head. No over it.
I'll just call myself Mr. X. Yep, you can't go wrong with Mr. X.
Word to the wise when it comes to gambling and the dark art of the point spread. I quote from the great Kentaro Miura, who said, "Don't forget, when you gaze into the darkness gazes back into you." How about that, Mr. X, for a quote to start today's podcast?
Not one I would have had.
Exactly. Well, look, as the sound bites from The Sopranos to open the show remind everyone, bet with your head, no over it. We have fun betting on sports. It is a dark art, not a science, and it is something that can make you money. But for God's sakes, do not let it go and get out of hand. it does ruin lives. I feel like we don't normally read these disclaimers. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Like, we're not required to read that on the podcast, Mr. X. But it did dawn on me this week. I'm like, I sure hope I'm not leading anyone into a complete quagmire financially, saying, yeah, go ahead, bet on the games, and Mr. X will tell you who to bet on.
Yeah, you know, it's a broken record, I know. But that, since you said that, that is what separates me from touts, is they have a winner every goddamn night, okay?
Right.
Bullshit. Guys will tell me over and over that I spend too much time telling them when and how to be cautious and when and how not to, because this isn't a game. This is my life. Right. And I don't put out anything that I'm not doing myself. And when you follow me, you'll realize I'm not, even though you like to say it, a degenerate.
You're a degentleman, okay. Which is a half gentleman, half degenerate.
Yeah.
So you're but half
you,
and half.
You couldn't be more right. And that's what, you know, they frustrate some of my members, especially with my big VIPs, when, like, you know, it's Thursday night. Who do you love? Answer, nobody.
Right.
I mean, you can't bet every game. If you do, you're doing the wrong thing. You have to pick and choose and find your spots and keep your control. You couldn't be more dead on.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the Family Guy clip where Peter says, he goes, I want to make a bet on college football. And they're like, who do you want to bet on? He just goes, nope, just take my money.
Yep.
All right. With that said, we start tonight by recapping last week. We picked the Thursday game, and I think our new tradition is to pick the game and the total. How did we do, you and I, picking the game and the total on Thursday night between the Chiefs and the Ravens?
Not great. We both took the Ravens catching 3, and we both lost, as you know, by a toe.
Exactly.
I mean, and the total, we both took under, and it came in on a push. So
no, 1-1 there.
It was 47 was the total, and it was the final, 27-20 final, so it tied.
Yeah.
And I did the prop, my King Henry prop, going under, which won easily. You had forgot to bring your homework on the props.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. And so, but I'll take mine. So, and you know, that game couldn't be a more classic example of what I was talking about where, okay, you know what? Well, wait, I'm jumping ahead. Never mind.
Well, we could get in.
Comes down to a toenail. Right. And yeah, if you got the Chiefs, congrats. You can't sit there and say, I knew it. I had, you know, that's not the Panther game from Sunday. Okay.
Right.
It was, or not, the Patriots. That's,
it was not in the bag.
You know,
not,
it's a game that came down to the last play, and I'd rather win than lose. But, you know, that's not a game I would have bet had it not been on Thursday night.
Right, because it was a close game. Two good teams.
Yep.
So we got to talk about that game, even though, it, you know, so much water has gone under the bridge, as I've done podcasts now and shows. Many, many, many of them since you and I last talked, but I always appreciate and look forward to hearing your insight on strategery and other issues in the game. I want to first start with the penalty call for the lining up, which I've been back and forth with multiple people over this of differing opinions. My radio colleague, Brian Butch, says, just line up where you're supposed to. It's not that hard. And I said, but it actually is, because there's no line on the ground you can look at. It's a judgment thing. And I said, what are the odds that these guys who have been lining up the same way their whole careers suddenly are doing it wrong? And then on top of that, who the fuck said this was something anyone wanted?
That's, you know, there's the point on that one is this. Usually when there's a lineup or not, and they show the replay, you're like, hey, dumbass, you're offside, like Kadarius Toney or somebody.
The Kadarius Toney one was egregious.
No sympathy for him.
Right.
But watching that one on Thursday, when they'd show the replay, I'm like, wait, who's it on again? They all look lined up. It was the whole my head, your belt buckle, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But obviously the reason they did it, it was the first game of the year. Everybody's watching the other teams, and they just, it was like warning shots.
Right.
They just wanted everyone to say, because they've been starting to cheat more and more, and the guards back a little from the center, and the tackles more, and everybody says, oh, we're kind of in a line, but they're not really. And they decided to tighten up. So be it. But a lot of those ones on Thursday, I'm looking at them going,
are you sure?
He said his head wasn't far enough with his belt buckle, but that's because he was standing up instead of down in a three-pointer. You know, and your head moves when you're in a two versus a three. And I'm like, I don't think his feet are back. But his head's in the wrong place. Does that matter? It was an overkill. I did not see those many called on the Sunday, but I'm
persisted.
Game six of the replay.
It persisted all the way into Monday night because there was a call in the Monday night game. So that to me says right there's a lot of tackles that don't understand what the NFL is trying to achieve here. You mentioned that these were warning shots. Yeah, they're warning shots that killed a family of four. Shots that just bang, 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 you're dead. What the fuck is that? So that was one thing that came out of the game that I wanted to talk about. The second one was Harbaugh was ready to go for two. Yep. Is that a no-brainer given that, A, it's on the road, B, you don't want Mahomes playing with you, and C, it's as good a shot as playing overtime, probably statistically, 50-50.
Yeah, I would say better than 50-50. When you have a team reeling like that in a 2-minute drill with no huddle and the defense is gassed. There was no question that was the right move, but we didn't get to see it. And it had nothing to do with me catching three, so I'd win either way.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I obviously, and you know, you saw it in the Lions game. Teams are now more aggressive in overtime than when they first started this new stupid ass touchy touchy everyone gets a chance format. Because the Lions were committed to packing it right down the Rams' throat in overtime, and that's exactly what they did.
Well, I think there's also a generational component to this. The last generation of coaches grew up not losing a game. Don't let the press say it was the coach's fault.
Oh, no question. Yeah, they're terrified of being called a guy.
This generation is more do what you do best, and that's fine.
Well, and it's Dan Campbell, too. He's always going to be super aggressive. But, yeah, they made sure they're like, you're not getting the ball back, which will now lead to a new round of fairies saying, well, we need to change it again because it's not fair to the Rams.
Yeah.
And I say, well, if that's your argument, let's go back to the original coin
flip.
But
didn't they change that for the playoffs?
They did.
Yeah, so why is playoffs really different than regular season? How many rules are different in the playoffs?
What are the odds that this game comes down to determining home field advantage in the NFC? I'd say better than 50, well, not 50-50, but it's got a good chance given that both teams expect to be pretty good. So, I don't know. It's just all so stupid. Yeah. But the thing about Lamar Jackson, and I didn't talk about this on the podcast, but I did on the radio, the two throws he missed in the end zone, and I think the Isaiah Likely one was even worse than the Flowers one because Likely had total leverage on his DB. He had nothing but green grass in the flat, where if you throw a ball at his nipples at Mach 4, he's going to adjust and catch it. Instead, it was 15 feet off the ground and nearly killed him. Terrible, terrible throw and read by Lamar. The Flowers one was also bad, but it was kind of crisscross, moving two directions. I could see how the window opened briefly, and it looked worse on TV than real life. Still should have hit the pass, but the Likely one was even worse. That is Lamar Jackson in a nutshell. He is really good, but he is not elite good at passing, Mr. X.
Can't throw it.
When you need to pass to save your life.
Yeah, that throw was a really hard one, especially unless you're like an NFL quarterback. Then it should be okay.
You mean the Flowers one?
I will tell you that my
which miss was more egregious, the first one to Likely or the Flowers one?
They both stunk.
They both stunk. As soon as Likely uncovered there, I go, oh shit, he's got him, and then he wings it out of the end zone. I'm like, what are you doing,
Dave? It's generational. My son X2 and I were texting back and forth the entire second half. Granted, he was hammered, and he's in the tank for Lamar, and he's just going on about how wonderful he is.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, he can't actually throw the ball, which I would love it if my quarterback could do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you remember when they had that? I don't even know the name anymore, but they had those skills contest things, whatever. And Lamar could not hit a target. He couldn't throw the ball. It was embarrassing.
He's got Travis a really Kelce nice. He's got a really nice, powerful, fluid whip action, but it's not super accurate. It reminds me of Vic. It's a whip. It's a crack of his arm, and the ball goes and goes, but the long ball accuracy is not there. And also on subtle things, like he had near the goal line early in the game, if I recall, an easy walk-in touchdown to a back who was releasing.
Yes.
And the defensive end jumped up and knocked the ball down. Why? Because Lamar just saw he was open, didn't think twice, and went to go throw a normal pass when the elite quarterbacks, the guys one click above where he is, instinctively know, just put some air under it because you don't know if that defensive end is going to spring up. Then it's an easy touchdown. Instead, it was an incomplete.
Well, Lamar's games in his career will fall into this category. Oh, my God, he's so versatile. We can't stop him. And then the games of, can you believe he couldn't hit any of those guys? And they lost. Right. Those are his two games.
Right. Well, when the games get tightest and the stakes get the biggest and the mountain gets the steepest is where he typically slips. But it doesn't mean he can't break through at some point, and that's what sports is about. You don't know. Right now, that's the narrative. We'll see if he gets over it. Okay. Before I get into your to-do list on stuff, I wanted to see if you had read or breezed or seen the long piece on ESPN.com about Bob Kraft and his quest, Robert Kraft and his quest to get into the Hall of Fame as an owner.
I did not.
It is long. You as a Patriot guy, and as somebody who can read and comprehend and has time up there in Maine when you're not pounding beers and watching, you know, cut up 30-minute fast play replays of the games, should read the article because it's fascinating. And it points out what I've said about the stupid Hall of Fame for 20 years now. It is a chaotic, biased as fuck process that Jerry Jones and Eddie DeBartolo Jr. are in the Hall of Fame as owners, but Bob Kraft is not, is a joke. But
well, yeah,
Bob Kraft is his own worst enemy, though, because his PR guy won't stop harassing the Hall of Fame voters. And now they're digging their heels in, which is also what I've said about these fucking pencil necks that are on this committee, is that they have a self-importance that is way out of step with what it should be, and they hold grudges, and they have agendas, and they're fucking biased. But it's a good read.
Yeah, I want to see that. But also, you know, I mean, the Football Hall of Fame is, as much as baseball gets all the grief because of their whole voting who's in, who's out, and the fiasco that's going on now with the whole generation being excluded, the Football Hall of Fame has always been god awful to me. Like a popularity contest, PR contest. It's like what they do off the field seems to contribute greatly to who gets in or not. And I was actually thinking of that this weekend before one of the games when they were talking. I guess it was the Eagle game on Friday night, and they were talking about how they're now missing Kelce, a clear first ballot Hall of Famer. And I thought to myself, until his brother was, you know, dating, and until the tush push came, he was a darn good center.
Right.
But, oh, my God, now can you suck up any more to that guy? And all I could think of was, you know, the publicity that you get off the field because of your brother and everything else. And, oh, isn't it cool the brother's playing in the Super Bowl? Contributes to you becoming a Hall of Famer. And if you're just a regular guy like, say, Joe Jacoby, you don't get that.
Yeah. $100 million podcast, by the way, for the Kelce brothers. We are not operating. I'm not operating a $100 million podcast right now. It's doing okay, but it's not that. And we'll probably never be that as well. Here's an excerpt from the Don Van Atta piece. He writes, a dozen Hall voters who rarely discuss their deliberations, except for here, so whatever, told ESPN that each time Kraft was snubbed, the campaign on his behalf became more urgent and inventive. The selectors lean on a variety of reasons for denying Kraft while approving coaches and a scout from decades ago and even a referee. The voters said the case for Kraft has been hurt by multiple Patriots cheating scandals, along with a selection system that until now has pitted coaches against owners. They've now separated that out, by the way. They even mentioned Kraft's dismissed charges after two visits to a Jupiter, Florida massage parlor. Voters also saw, as did many Patriot fans and some former players, two major media projects as pro-Kraft narratives, a best-selling 2020 book called The Dynasty, and the Apple TV Plus 10-part docuseries of the same name. The docuseries got $27 million for Kraft, who has the rights to it, and Kraft was able to pressure the lead editor to keep out things such as the Orchids of Asia episode in that documentary. They say that some voters were turned off by that, seeing it as a naked PR campaign to get into the Hall of Fame. I would say, well, don't forget about Aaron Hernandez. They sheltered a sociopathic multiple murderer and didn't think anything of it.
Well, I would summarize it this way. When an organization does poorly, we always say it all starts at the top. Take the Commanders, Redskins, whatever. When it starts at the top and it flounders for decades,
right?
You say, well, is it really the owner's fault? And people will say, everything starts at the top. Well, if you have the greatest 20-year run in the history of the league, you can't not give credit at the top. It has to go both ways.
Yeah. Well, I personally think that Kraft is absolutely a Hall of Famer, not just because of the Super Bowl rings and notwithstanding the two scandals and also the Aaron Hernandez thing and the Orchids of Asia, but he bought the team as it was on its way probably to Kansas City, they thought. Or not Kansas City. Forget what city. They were going to go somewhere. They were going to leave. The franchise was in complete disrepair, and he bought it as a fan. Sort of a, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, kind of a Jimmy Stewart type movie, and bought it and turned it into a absolute juggernaut of a franchise. So,
I need to tell you why I really like Kraft? I don't mean
because
to be goofy,
I
always hate it when people he's talk dating about a much generosity of a bazillionaire.
Right.
But do you remember what he did when the time when the three UVA football players were shot and killed?
Right. You being a proud UVA alum.
Yes, but he donated his plane to the team so that the entire team could travel to three different states and attend three different funerals.
Right.
And I'm sorry. Good dude. I know he's rich, but a lot of rich people would not do stuff like that. I've always thought he was a good guy.
Yeah. And also his super young, super hot ophthalmologist doctor wife now. That would be one Ms. Dana Bloomberg. Google her. And I'm sure she just is with him because he's so witty and knows how to choose a great Cabernet Sauvignon.
Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we move on. Before we get to the picks and some other football stuff for the week, you want to touch on baseball, starting with the Ohtani thing. Let's start with – oh, no, this is from April. Fucking A.
I was going to say, what Ohtani thing?
I just did a quick – yeah, I looked for your email. You must have sent it from a different email. There it is. Okay, there – okay.
Did I?
Yeah, sorry. No, I Googled the wrong email for you. Not Googled. I put it in a search bar in my Yahoo Mail. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Dare we open with Tyreek Hill? Yes. Let's go there because this asshole is now calling for the cop in the case to be fired. Fuck off to the moon is my opinion. Now, you as a father of four boys has a thought or two on this.
I don't see race in these things, but I see generational differences. I went back and forth with two kids today texting. They just can't see the world the way we do, Zabe. They just can't. My kids aren't stupid. Other than overcoming the gene pool, they're doing fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a believer. When I taught my kids to drive, the first, 20 minutes is in the driveway. What do the gauges mean? What are you looking for? What does the overheated mean? And the second half is I teach them what to do if you're ever pulled over.
Right.
And put both hands on the steering wheel. Yes, sir. License and registration. It's in my glove box. Would you like for me to reach for it now? You don't ever give them a chance to think you're doing something dangerous.
Right.
You know, it's like my cousin Vinny. You never know when your car doesn't match the description of someone who just shot two other people.
Right.
And watching the body cam today, I had to call them and remind them, do you remember what your dad taught you? And I got all kinds of crap. They just were like, well, he was wrong, but the police are wrong too. That's how kids think these days. And it's like, okay, you got a blackout window. Right. You got a blacked out window and you decide to put it up so that you are invisible. And you don't think that's going to scare or at least concern a person on the other side wondering if you're reaching for a gun?
Because right.
You're doing, how do you justify saying, I'm going to put my window up and it's blacked out. And when you need me, I'll be in here, but I'm behaving. I mean, that to me is an absolute deal killer. And as soon as I saw the window go up, I was expecting to see a big shakedown. I was expecting to see a panicked cop officers pulling him out because why would you put that window up and hide yourself? And instead, it was still kind of, I thought it was a lot of restraint. Like, sir, please put that back down. We're going to have to ask, sir. You know, I did not think it was any overreaction. How do you escalate that by saying, I'm just going to hide right here and put my window up?
He was calling his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Yeah.
Do it with your hands in plain sight.
Right. No, you're 1,000%
right. And
yet
my kids do not agree. They say, yes, he was wrong.
What do they want the cop to do? Here's the thing. People go, oh, well, the cop should have de-escalated the situation. That's like the one word that people think they know what it means, and so they just repeat it. You know, de-escalate, de-escalate, de-escalate. The cops aren't there to de-escalate your bullshit.
when you're escalating.
Right. They're not like, how long should they have waited then for Tyreek Hill to roll down his window and then proceed with giving the officers his license and registration?
Yeah, and find out he has an assault weapon. They don't know minutes, who he is at right. that point.
Even if they knew it was Tyreek Hill, and even if they yeah. knew he wasn't going to pull a weapon on them, how long do they have to fucking wait for him to be a child and to get his shit together and to deal with the cops like a normal citizen? And also what is so enraging is that this happened this year with a white guy, with Scottie Scheffler. And Scottie sure. Scheffler did 1/10 of the wrong that yeah. Tyreek Hill did. You know, Tyreek's like, don't bang on my window. Like, it was a two-finger knock. Scottie Scheffler yeah. had a flashlight slammed into his car. Now, look, it was a courtesy car from the tournament, but the people working that tournament, the PGA Championship, knew it was a player at least. So they knew this is a golfer, and the guy still went fucking nuclear on him, and they took Scotty into the police department and detained him for several hours and put him in a jumpsuit. Yeah. Tyreek didn't get any of that. They put him to the ground. Oh, you're beating the hell out of me. No, you take worse tackles for money with the Dolphins helmet on your head. And then he's bitching about get the guy fired. And this is all for a bag of shit. If this was the NFL Man of the Year, maybe I'd have a little bit of sympathy. This guy is one of the worst guys in the league who shouldn't be in the league, but he only is because he's faster than fuck and Tyreek down there somewhere. Okay, hallelujah, holy shit, I'm over. I'm done. Anything else to add?
No, the only thing I would just say on it is, you know, it amazes me sometimes how a generation can see things so different.
I know, but here's it's why. Amazing.
I'm like, cause... I taught you better than this. You don't put up a black window and say, I'll be back later. You can't do that.
You taught them once. The culture and the current media environment leans on them every day.
Maybe that's it.
Leans. Yeah. Not maybe. It's the truth. Yeah. The culture teaches. The culture shapes minds, and the culture is poison coming from that 6-inch rectangle in their hands all day. Yeah. Every
what it
day.
Expects is absolute perfection, absolute exact amount of force. But as you call it, there are plenty of guys who decided to de-escalate a situation and they end up in bad shape.
Right. Also, de-escalating when it comes to police is usually between two parties, such as a domestic dispute. In which sure. they're going at each other. When you're being an asshole and disregarding a police officer's orders, they don't have any obligation to de-escalate. None. Zero. But that said, okay.
Yeah, the dude knows he's wearing a body cam. He knows he's got it on. He's not out in some back alley, you know, throwing his weight around. He knows he's being recorded, and he did the best that he could. Yeah. We know who escalated that situation.
Yeah. Okay. Recapping last week, NCAA over last weekend was a rover and over bonanza.
It was. We had talked about it last Thursday, and then sure enough, this week was an absolute classic. I think I put out 5 of the rover and overs on Saturday morning on this, and one of them tied, and 4 of them won, and fairly easy. It was a sweet week. And the funny part, Zabe, was. One of your listeners after the show last week reached out to me because I kind of know anecdotally. Look, I've been doing this since 1987. Everything is not tracked and on a chart somewhere. But this dude sent me, he started making a rover and over spreadsheet after listening to us
here,
in 2020.
Let me read the email. Will McNabb.
No, that's a different one.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
That dude was just this weekend.
Okay, proceed.
This guy sent me a full chart of the last 59 rover and overs that he's played through us, through me,
and
through my website. And it started in November of 2020, and it showed 4 losing 0-2 picks, 39 ties, and 15 winners, which is even a little better than I would have expected. That's like a 5% loss rate. And I always hypothesize it's less than 10. He came if I'm, and that was before we went 4-0-1 on Saturday.
Hold on. If you applied, first of all, for new listeners, rover and over is the Mr. X concept came up with it himself of a large underdog in college. In college, there's no such thing as a pro Rover and over. Is there?
Yeah, there hasn't been one in a long, long time. I'd have to think about that, but yes.
It has to be a spread usually of 30-plus. What's the smallest spread you dare call a Rover and over?
The key isn't just the number. It's the gap between the spread and the total.
Right, but I don't think I've ever seen a Rover and over less than 30.
No, but you probably could find some Iowa game, though, where it was laying 28 and the total was 30 or something like that. But no, you're right. Essentially, it usually is a big game where the spread and the total are so close that I say that you can't cover the spread as a favorite and still stay under that total.
Right.
Not very often. I think I would have said less than 10% of the time. This guy's chart showed 5% of the time. And so the point is, if you play the other two together, you rarely go 0-2. You get a lot of 1-1s and a bunch of 2-0s, and I'll take that every time.
Now, if you applied, say, $100, hypothetically, to all of those documented Rover and overs that went 15 2-0 winners, 34, did you say, 1-1s?
39, yep.
And 5 0-2s. Can you give us a hypothetical baseline return betting $100 on that?
Sure. Well, I'll say this guy's chart had an ROI column that said 40.1%, but that's not how I would calculate it.
I don't understand percentages. Just talk to me in money. Pretend I put $100 on all these over this span. What was it?
It would be...
feel like I need some calculator music.
You'd be up 19 units. What did you say? $100 better.
19 units?
Yeah. 1900. Whatever you're betting, you'd be up 19 of them roughly.
Over the span of how many years?
Well, this guy started charting it in late 2020. I'm pretty sure I've played more than that. But
okay,
anyway.
So I mean, that's a pretty good return over 4 years. Not too shabby. Now, the thing about...
You know what it comes down to is what? This. Okay, if you're sitting there playing blackjack and you got an 11 and the dealer has a 6, you're doubling down, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because the odds are in your favor.
Right.
Are you going to win every time? No, you're not. But you double down because it's one of the rare times that you actually have a slight edge over the house. That's my contention on Rover and Over is... we have an edge over the house, and I can't think of any other bet in sports where you have an edge over the house.
Yeah. Will McNabb emailed, and I forwarded it to you. He said, Rover and Over questions. He said, I'm a numbers nerd accountant, or a quant, as my brother likes to reference from The Big Short. So naturally, I built a spreadsheet with all the week two lines and filtered it to the advantageous picks. My question for Mr. X is, since we're betting on dogs, is it more advantageous to place Rover and Over bets early in the week or right before kickoff? Also, is there a significant drop in Rover and Over plays once conference play begins? I know I could have sent this directly to Mr. X's website, but I was curious on your thoughts as well, Zabe. Thanks so much, Will. Well, my thoughts are whatever he says, as I thumb.
I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, whatever. But I know this, the Rover and Overs are like the Mackinac peaches. They are in season for a brief, short period in these first 3 weeks of September, and then they go away. Correct?
That part is very true. You get them the first 2 weeks. I don't think we're going to find one this week, but then you'll get them that last week of
season.
Okay. Where there's sometimes, you might have your rivalry games, but some of the teams have their dog shit game at the end of the year, but not many. And you know what? That's the thing, is these 2 weeks, as I've told my followers, you pound these Rover and Overs the first 2 weeks, then you take that and you use that for the next 2 months.
Right.
Use that stash because it's always a good start to the year.
Yeah. By the way,
to your guys' question,
hold on
about
real quick.
Yeah.
The Mackinac peach is a fictional fruit from Seinfeld that Kramer raved about. It was fictionally from Oregon and was ripe for only 2 weeks a year, according to Kramer.
That's a great analogy, dude. Yes. I'll give you that one.
Okay.
But the quick answer to your guy's question, though, is when do you do it? There is no silver. There's no magic answer to that. Sometimes the line, it's just like every other line. Sometimes you wish you got in soon because it went the wrong way. Sometimes it'll go in your favor. You can't say one or the other. But the hardest part about them is when you get these 1A, I still call it that, Division 1A versus the 1AA's. Most books don't put those lines up until 90 minutes from kickoff. So you got to scramble late when, you know, Nebraska's playing Florida Tech, A&M, Southern, because they don't put those up in advance. So you got a small window to jump.
Okay. What next?
Well, last week's NFL.
Hold on. While we're on college, okay. I called BS on my buddy Big Mike, who you know, because he's ready to bet his mortgage and the refi on his mortgage on Alabama -16.5 over Wisconsin, his team, at Camp Randall. And he said to me, he goes, you know, the line has moved from -8 to 16.5. And I go, bullshit. Then I just found this story. In August, the line was 8, Alabama. Actually, 9.5 point favorite back in August, and the spread has been ballooning ever since. How do you feel about chasing a ballooning spread that is floating away from you, like a sweet little red balloon from a 10-year-old boy about to burst out in tears?
He is actually correct about the line. However, when I talk about a line move, I'm talking about within the week.
Not from 3 weeks.
I don't
want
to go back months because there's just, well, it doesn't make sense to me.
Hold on. It's a month.
No, but what I mean is when you put a line up a month ago, a lot, it's not the same as when they open on Monday and what happens that week.
Right.
But I'm looking back to see when did that change. You're right. That's July. Holy smokes. It went straight to 15 on September the 8th.
So as soon as Wisconsin struggled against Western Michigan, people were like, but what's weird is that fucking Alabama was in a dogfight themselves. 1-point game deep into the fourth last weekend at home on the day that they named the field after the Nictator.
Now, see, I assumed you were going to go against Big Mike solely because he's Big Mike and he's usually wrong.
Well, hey, but he gets some right. I don't want to. Now, see, this is where you're going to create extra phone calls and text exchanges with my Goombas that I don't need to adjudicate, all right?
Yeah, no, but actually, whenever somebody has a really – this is the real dilemma in gambling is that – on the one hand, I don't want to bet Wisconsin because a Wisconsin fan tells me they're good. And I don't want to go against
Wisconsin. What if they tell you that? What if they tell you they're bad?
I don't want to go against Wisconsin because a disgruntled fan says we suck.
Right.
I don't want to do either of those. But then again, the trade-off is you kind of know your team pretty good. So that's always been a filter. My entire life I've had to block out, what do I think of the Red Sox? What do I think of the Commanders? And I always tell myself, don't go with for or against them. But I'm usually more right because you know them better. So it's a difficult thing. Maybe Mike's right.
Yeah. With 9 minutes and change in the third, Alabama fumbles. South Florida takes advantage. 5-play, 39-yard touchdown drive. And it's 14-13 now as they're down by just one, South Florida. And then it was still a 7-point game as deep as I'm looking at the rundown here. It's like 7 minutes left to go in the game. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's a.
And then 3 touchdowns late by Alabama. So it was 21-6. 21-16.
That's 21, a pretty hard game to judge.
21-16 Bama with 6:45 left. And South Florida cut it to 21-16 this late into the game on an play 71-yard drive.
Yeah.
That ain't the Alabama I know.
That's not a fluke. That's a weekend. That's like they ran through their ass like shit through a tin horn.
And we couldn't stop them. All right, let's go to the NFL, shall we?
Okay.
All right. The favorites last week went
9-6-1. 9-6-1.
The overs,
a couple late covers.
The overs went 8-7-1.
And that's because you and I had mentioned that unders are definitely the way to go early in the year, so they didn't win.
And the public money, as you see it as public money, was 2-2, meaning the heavily public plays.
Lopsided, yeah. And I track it differently than most, so people don't tell me that you saw another site with different numbers. I track it my own way when I'm looking for, call it the smell tests, and the, I always track how do the games that the public is too high on, how do they do? Usually it's the probably one of the best indicators because they don't do well. Right. But they went 2-2 last week.
Okay. The other notes from last week is the effed up down markers, and you've got Steelers in there. How is that possible? I did not see this. What happened?
Yeah, I saw this two or three times, but the worst one was the Steelers game. They throw like a third and nine pass for 9 yards on the dot.
Right.
They're running up the line, and it's deep in territory, like probably inside the red zone maybe. They come up to the line, and I'm thinking, God, it was close. I thought he got that. This is like the time you used to slow the game down and actually bring out those chains, which I know we can't do anymore. And instead, they are kind of calling down the whole, what do you call it, eye in the sky or whatever that word is, the replay assist.
Expedited video review, meaning no challenge needed.
And on one side of the field, they decided it was a first down, and they changed the down marker to one. On the opposite side of the field, they left it on fourth and a foot.
Yeah.
And each team thought it was a different situation because they're looking at one down marker. The Steelers did a quick straight-ahead run. They thought it was fourth and one, and they got stuffed for minus two. And the Falcons were celebrating. And then they're like, no, 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 no. That was actually first down. Now it's second and 12. And everyone's like, oh, cool. Like, how can you run that play with – they kept saying, well, we're not sure what down it is. One side says one. The other side says four.
I know.
And they never stopped to just go, let's get this right. The Steelers actually thought it was fourth and one, lost yards, and it ended up being they end up getting a field goal on the drive. Of course, that's all they did was kick six field goals. But and I just watched that going, with all of this going, how can that even happen? And I saw a similar on two other games, which I won't get into, but that was the worst.
And well, what's your solution? How? Because stopping the game to measure creates a distinct advantage for a team without timeouts trying to chase the clock.
I'm exaggerating on the measure. I know we don't do that anymore, but you need to at least stop it and go, okay, guys, let's have both sides decide if it's first or fourth down. Well, you can't be first down on this side of the field and fourth down on that side.
Right, but once you stop it, you know the game's going to be stopped for a minute at a minimum, and that gives a huge advantage to the team that needs a timeout that may not have one.
Okay, I get that. It wasn't late in the game. It was middle of the game.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, instead we're just going to roll the dice and figure out what down it is after the play?
Hey, listen. Listen, they're doing a lot of fucked up things now. Your thoughts on the kickoff returns?
I think I'm on an island here, Zabe. I listened all weekend talking about
like
how they want to put the excitement back in the kickoffs.
Yeah, you must like it.
I don't care. I think of everything like, I know the injuries as the driver, but what do you do when you're playing touch football on the Zabin field after a touchdown? Do you kick off or does the other team just start?
The other team just starts. Well, we would actually do kickoffs because I had
you?
A field. Yeah, because
I had touch football games. You just say your ball.
Yeah. Well, we
you go.
We kicked
and
off because we're special because we had a whole field and paint and uprights. Uh-huh. So of course we're gonna, if it's in the game, we tried to make it in the game. But you're right. Normally it's either that or a we called it a PPK punt pass for kick. I forget what we called it. I thought we called it PPK. It was like pass for punt, pass for kick, you know, instead of punting one, we'd actually throw it high in the air. By the way, there was a fake punt in college that was actually an underhand pass that went for a first down. Did you see that?
I did not.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you the link. It's really creative. Cool. Punt formation, and the punter, or maybe it was the backup quarterback posing as the punter, catches the snap, takes one step forward, fakes kicking it, and then does this softball player windmill underhand spiral that the receiver goes down and catches it in front of the guy thinking it's a punt for a first down. It was brilliant. Okay. All right. So there was that. Sticking the ball out is a BS rule, you say.
Oh, I know what I meant. I have real issue watching all the replays, and what I'm talking about is not the goal line. We all know how the goal line works. When a quarterback is running out of bounds, and the rule is where's the ball when you cross the plane, not where do your feet go out.
Right.
I say put it where your feet go out because, one, the ref can see where your foot landed and spot the ball instead of this arbitrary where were you holding it.
Right.
But what bothers me is these guys, and Kyler Murray does it, Mahomes does it. You're just about out of bounds, within an inch, and you stick your arm forward to get an extra yard and a half. But I can't touch you while you're doing it.
Yeah.
I hate that. If I have to be protected and I'm not allowed to hit you on the sideline, you should not be able to stick the ball a yard forward as you're crossing the barrier. Don't you think it's a fair trade?
I totally agree with that, and I hate it so much, especially because if you blast a quarterback who has 1 foot still actually in bounds, you will get a penalty 9 out of 10 times.
Right before he sticks that ball out, you hit him, or right as he's sticking the ball out, you're still getting a penalty. So it's like a free – I guess the point is maybe Murray and Mahomes are smarter because they're taking advantage of it, but it bothers me when I watch it.
Yeah, that one does indeed. Did you watch any of the Manning cast the other night?
I did not.
Okay.
Is that Monday night?
It's good because, yes, it's on Monday night games. It's still not every week, I don't think, which is so weird that I guess Peyton Manning's got golf tournaments he's got to go play in or scrambles or something like that. I'll have to check the schedule. But they now are more football-y because they got Belichick on it. And it's great. Like, I like it now from the clips I saw. And Peyton and his brother are getting better and better chemistry-wise. Eli is funny as shit. I never thought I'd like that guy. I actually really do.
He's good.
And Peyton Manning is pretty merciless. Like, when Ayuk dropped that touchdown, Peyton Manning blasted him. He's like, see, this is why we get these deals done early and get in camp. We need to practice.
Yeah, no, I've watched it before. I didn't watch it this week. I know late last year when I was watching it for the first time and Mrs. X sat in the room because we have, you know, the multiple TVs, and she's like, wait, these guys are just watching the game and talking about it? So now I have to listen to all you guys talk about the game and them talk about the game?
Yes. So. Here's the bite. Tell me if you can hear this.
I cannot.
Okay. Boy, that's really low for reasons I don't fully understand. Let me see if this bite's any louder. Yeah, somehow when I'm running FaceTime audio on this one channel, that it doesn't play sound from. But yeah, he basically ripped Brandon Ayuk saying, this is why we got to get in camp early. So that was good. Also, Belichick on McAfee had a great point about the Will Levis idiotic play that cost him the game for the Titans. Did you see that?
I did not see Belichick. I saw the idiotic play, which was one of the worst plays of the week, if not end up being the year.
Right. Belichick said that it used to be early in Brady's career, he'd do something dumb and he'd come on the sidelines and Belichick be like, what the fuck was that? And Brady be like, I'm trying to make a play. And Belichick would have to say, okay, well, do the risk reward. And he looked at that Levis play saying, so what if you hit it? It's what, a 2-yard game?
Yeah.
And if you get it picked, you lose. That is so not worth the risk. It's akin to the guys that see this supposed sure thing in betting where one team is minus 10,000 on the money line.
Yeah,
and
right.
They bet $10,000 to win 100, to which you have always said,
don't need the 100.
If you have the 10 grand, why do you need the 100 so bad?
Well, I would go one step even further on that. I'm actually in the middle of the Bears game right now. I would go a step further, and I know they're not thinking like this, but the Bears didn't move the ball for the entire day. They got a couple of fumbles. They got a blocked punt for a touchdown. They got it. So when you're in that game, it's not just risk-reward. It's, hey, if we punt, what do you think they're going to do this time? They've never moved the ball. You go trying to make a play because you're playing Peyton Manning or Patrick Mahomes. I get it. You got to make something happen. The Bears couldn't move the ball all day. Why don't you just hand them points?
Yeah. That was a stupid, stupid decision.
And he actually played okay for the first three quarters. Yeah, Levis, well, he was surprisingly not bad, but yeah, well, that's all you remember is that play for sure.
Guess what? That's like golf saying, you know, I hit a lot of great shots. I played really good for 14 holes. Well,
that's right.
The game demands you be good on almost everything. Yep. And that's why it's hard. And just like football, you can't just say, well, I played good for the most part. And then in the most critical moment, I shit my pants. Well, we went home losers. Thank you very little. I got this. And then we'll make our picks and wrap it up.
All right.
One of the trademark phrases, your phrase, and I've adopted it. We say it all the time. Winning is nice. Getting paid is even nicer. Bet365 did something very, very dirty for their users. A guy posted a screenshot. He had placed an over on backup Jordan Mason's rushing total on Monday night at 13.5 yards. He had odds of minus 110. That was a fair bet when everyone assumed McCaffrey was healthy. Spoiler, he was not. They sent a note saying, we're contacting you regarding your bet.
No.
And we've identified that this selection was placed at incorrect odds. And as such, in accordance with our rules, will instead be settled at the revised odds of, instead of minus 110, what do you think they changed his bet retroactively to?
Oh, well, he's still going to win it, so...
But it's minus something more than 110. What do you think they jacked it up to?
Probably, I don't know, 10,000.
Minus 5,000.
5,000. Which means, though, that...
You fucking dicks.
Because you've only already posted up the risk amount, you're basically winning back to, like you said, you're risking $50 to win, what, 10 cents?
Right.
So it's essentially wiping out the bet because all you're getting is your money back.
Yeah. He had 100. Well, you know what? That, he had 147 yards.
Who was it that did that?
Bet 365.
Who are they? I don't know who that is.
Look them up.
Is that the ESPN guys?
I don't know. Look them up.
Okay.
It's not my bookie.
That is that,
my bookie would never do that to people. That's why you should use promo code ZABE, Charlie Zulu, Alpha Bravo Echo. Dirty pool, mister. And they end the note by saying, please accept our apologies for any inconvenience caused.
I would never bet with that book again. And the biggest reason for that is not just the obvious. The biggest reason for that is on prop bets where, you know, the line for Alabama, Wisconsin is going to, you know, move a point here, a point there. Prop bets, they can get, you know, this stuff happens. And that's the reason they have very low maximums on these prop bets, so they don't get killed when these things happen. People aren't betting $25,000
on Jordan Mason over 13.5.
Right.
Also, prop bets typically aren't much more than minus 130 on either side.
They can fly all around, but the point of it is...
But they're not minus 5,000. Okay, so minus 5,000 on a prop bet doesn't exist because on an over-under, they're going to set that number as close to what they think is a reasonable over-under and price it within the range of minus 110 to 140 at most on either side.
But the key is, as a shop holder, I'll pay your Jordan Mason bet because... How many were there before the announcement?
$500 total out of 100 guys, whatever, pay that out or lose customers.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, there's, it's one thing when it's, you know, a large bet on a big thing. Props, every shop has low limits on props. They're just teasers, suckers, getting you active. The money is on the big plays. Everybody teasing and parlaying and losing their money big. And the props are all flyers and tokens. They have low limits, so they don't get hurt when these things happen. So to cop out and not pay it is a horrible thing.
Okay. Let's end on the Thursday night game. Tell us what we got. Tell us your view of this contest.
Well, we saw this afternoon that Mostert is out for tomorrow.
Tell people the game.
Say again?
Tell people what the game is on Thursday night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Lay it all out. All right, Thursday night, we got Buffalo and Miami. It's in Miami, right?
Yes.
Buffalo in Miami, Josh Allen against Tua Tagovailoa, two of the top passer in week one, 330 yards. Tyreek Hill with his week of explaining why could have done better, but still, I want that cop fired. And the Dolphins played a bad game, and they got bailed out by an incredible punch-out of a Travis Etienne touchdown at the one-yard line. Exactly. And then the very next play, Tyreek down there somewhere, 80 yards for a touchdown, and the handcuff celebration. Of course, Buffalo didn't play much better either. Buffalo was getting run out of their own building, and then a very dubious face mask call on a sack of Josh Allen, which I think was not a face mask, because he turned his head to kind of sell it. They were grabbing his the collar of his shirt and not the horse collar either. Turned the game around up in Buffalo. So it's 2.5 Miami over under a 49.
Correct. I would have added that Jacksonville clearly should have won that game. If Etienne doesn't fumble walking in the end zone, it's 24-7. It's over.
Right.
Miami was very unimpressive. Buffalo, on the other hand, was moving the ball fine. They just kept making stupid turnovers, which is what Buffalo does. But in this game, Miami 2.5. A-Chain is supposed to be a game-time decision. That's critically important. Sorry, but it really is. I assume he's going to play, but I am going to take Buffalo plus the points, because playing is one thing, playing well is another. And you're a speed guy like him. If he's really hurting and trying to go, and they're down to their third back, I got to take Buffalo plus 2.5. That's my side. What do you got?
Over under for you?
I'll go under the 49. Those okay. Two, that's a pretty high number, and it's too early in the year. Both offenses did not look good last week. I'd take under.
All right. I got terrible, terrible news for you. I also am on Buffalo in the under, because in week one Thursday night, I took the road team plus and the under, and I got beat. And so when I get beat, I go right back to the well until I win. It's stupid gambling, but it is what it is. I got Buffalo and the under. That's a big total right there. 49 for me to be laying the over on early in the season. So give me the Bills and the under. Prop bets, again, I did not do my homework. Do you have a sizzling prop you want to give out here?
I'll give out, since I'm 1-0 on props, this is my prop for tomorrow. I like more flyer props, not the main ones. I'm taking Dawson Knox receiving yards over 12.5. I took Jennings on Monday Night Football in a similar situation. Buffalo does really spread the ball around. They don't just feed their best guys. So even though he's their two tight end, they play both tight ends a lot. So I'm going to take Knox. I think his number's too low.
Okay. There's your sizzling prop right there. For more from Mr. X, go to his website, callmemrx.com. You can follow him on Twitter at justcallmemrx. And as always, bet with your head not over it. And getting paid, winning is nice. Getting paid is even nicer. And as always, only bet as much as you can afford
to win.
That a boy. See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by Wynn Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WynnSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet. Or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.